Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, another Baseball America podcast. JJ Cooper, Carlos Collazo, and special guest, USA Baseball 18U team director Frank Jagoda, talking about the 18U team. Wrapped up their season, their summer, not too long ago now, still, with the a very busy summer that basically you have a start, you have a middle, and then you have an end. Covered the world, you know, spanned the globe, came back with the silver medal, and kind of, you know, to kind of start with it there. I mean, obviously, 18U, you carry a heavy responsibility. You know, the expectation is gold every time. Y'all came an inning and basically a swing away from the goal, you know, finish with the silver. But what did you feel like about the tournament, about the summer, and Frank, what did you kind of take from your first year as 18U director?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate you guys having me on. And it was a whirlwind of a summer. I got back about a week ago from South Korea, and you touched on silver medal and a long summer and being a beginning, a middle, and an end. And I think anytime, USA Baseball steps on the field, the goal is always going to be gold, and that's the expectation, as it should be. And we fell a little bit short this year. The message to the guys on the field at the end of the game was they have absolutely nothing to hold their head about. They did a great job. They competed to the very end. Like you said, we were a swing away, and had the tying run on second base, the winning run on first base, and kudos to Chinese Taipei. They played us hard. They played us tough. They pitched us well. They made some great defensive plays, and that's just kind of where it ended up. And obviously, that's not the goal. That's not what we set out to do. But like I said, each and every player and staff and support staff and everyone involved, from people in our office to people who helped out at the PDP League and people all summer long, and the parents that are involved in all these things, they should be very proud of how we handled ourselves, should be very proud of how we competed, and we operated with class and did a very good job there. And I couldn't be more proud of that, of those guys and that staff, and it was an honor to be around them all summer.
What kind of stood out to me with this team, just watching it kind of on the streams, obviously I wasn't there in person, but I mean, and you touched on it a little bit, but it seemed like this team was just incredibly resilient. I mean, you guys basically from the Super Round on had to win every single game, a number of really close games. It seems like the guys really did a good job battling and bearing down and just coming through when they needed. Obviously, in the end, maybe not the goal that you were looking for, but can you just kind of speak to the resilience of this club and what you guys were able to do to even get to that level?
Yeah, there was a few different things, moments of adversity all summer long. Mm-hmm. excuse me. Obviously we started in with the 48 man trials roster in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and we had a very good group there, and mm-hmm. it was a competitive group, and there was a lot of tough decisions this year to make, and not only from the pitching side of things or the hitting side of things, and mm-hmm. Looking at the roster matrix and what that may look like, and who could fill what role or what spot. And prior to getting to Korea, we did a little bit of a 5 or 6 day trip to Taiwan beforehand, and we did that to get acclimated to the culture, the time zone, the food, mm-hmm. and those types of things. Well, we played Chinese Taipei. Well, hindsight's 20/20. That's the team that we played in the gold medal game.
Yeah.
So, as we're sitting here talking about a hit away or whatever, they pitched us really well, and they positioned their defense really well against us, and was that game played out like two teams that had already played each other five times previous, mm-hmm. And so, when we get to the tournament and, we started out well, we had a good showing against South Africa, and Kyle Harrison had a big start for us, and, offense came alive early, and, you know, we follow it up with a big game against Chinese Taipei, and Max Rezhik goes out and, you know, really does a great job on the mound. He gives us a chance, and, you know, guys like Jason Savakul come out of the bullpen in a big spot, and Colby Halter finishes it off, and our offense gets some, you know, some cushion runs at the end there. And then, you know, we ran into a little bit of a speed bump against Japan, and, you know, tough weather conditions for both clubs. You know, I think Japan handled that a little bit better than we did that night, and it was raining the entire time, and, you know, they threw strikes, and, you know, we came out a little bit behind the eight ball early, you know, kind of weathered the storm in the middle, and Raleigh Hector did a phenomenal job as one of our underage kids on this team. He came in, and he, you know, he weathered the storm, and he gave our offense a chance to battle back, which we did, and we were a swing or two away, and, you know, fell short there. But then the next day, the rains continued. We had, you know, we had a rain out, and, you know, so what that did was it backed the tournament back where we didn't get that designated off day at the end, and we ended up having to play from that point forward with two pool play games left. We had to go essentially and play, you know, five straight days of must-win baseball, and it was awesome to be part of, and, and these guys really came together, and every single pitch of every single game, as expected, you know, everyone was on this, you know, just top step of the dugout, and you know, kind of competed their way through. There was a lot of big emotional moments in those games, and, you know, started with a big win against Spain, and Spain who had a great tournament. They didn't have much on the win loss side to show for it, but they played Japan really tough. They played us really tough, and, you know, they got into our bullpen early. Alejandro Rosario, you know, pitched really well in the middle part of that game and gave our offense a chance to come back, and we took the lead, and, you know, which was awesome to see. And then, you know, the next day we had Panama and another must win to, you know, to position us as the one seed in the super round. And Kyle Harrison again came out, and he did a great job. And Robert Hassel hit a big home run for us, and Nolan McLean hit big home run and pitched well at the end of that ball game, and Pete Carmstrong with a big catch, you know, the next day against Australia in the super round game, and, you know, Drew Romo with a walk off, and then we get to Canada, and Ben Hernandez kind of rights the ship for him and has a big start against Canada with some timely hitting from guys, and, you know, and then of course the game against Korea, you know, where, you know, got to win playing the host country, got to win to get to gold medal game, and we're down 5-0 early.
Yeah.
And we went to Rosario, and Coach Leggett and Coach Bankhead made the decision to go to Alejandro Rosario in the first inning, and he goes 8 2/3, you know, 8 2/3 shutout, and or he might have given up a run there. I think he gave up a run in his second inning. But, you know, he goes 8 2/3 strong and really gave our offense a chance to chip away and come back, and we took a lead. And once we had the lead and Rosario reached the tournament pitch count rules and things like that, Nolan McLean came in and shut the door. So, you know, that set us up for the gold medal game. And, you know, Chinese Taipei was our opponent, and, you know, they pitched well. But it was a lot of fun. It was a good stretch of must-win baseball, and they handled it great. You know, they played in six straight must-win games, and these guys won five of them, and, you know, they did a phenomenal job. And, you know, it's a little bit unfortunate we fell short at the end, but, you know, a 2-1 ball game. And it was, you know, after it was all said and done, you know, sitting with Coach Leggett and Coach Bankhead and Greg Ritchie and Gerald Laird, and we were, you know, at the hotel, and we were kind of just, you know, rehashing the night, and, you know, we just kept saying how much of a, you know, a good ball game that was.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously it was unfortunate, the, you know, how it ended, but that's baseball. It is what it is, and we'll be back at it. So,
yeah, for sure. Well, you touched on a number of the players we want to talk about, and as you listeners can tell, recall is not an issue with Frank here. I think he's going to be able to break them down pretty well. But it's always fun to be able to talk with the ATNU national director at this point in time, because a number of the players that you guys have obviously are going to factor into the draft next year. want to touch on as many of the players as we can, but one of the first guys I wanted to really ask about, who you mentioned, is Robert Hassel. I mean, I feel like at this point, from my perspective, he's got to be one of the better hitters in this 2020 prep class. I mean, it seems like every game he had a multi-hit game for you guys, kind of sparking the lineup at the top. I mean, how impressive is he as a hitter?
He could really hit, and there's not a whole bunch that bothers him. You know, he's a great kid. He's an extremely hard worker. And you're right, he could really hit, and he showed up in a big way for us. And You know, he led off a game for us. He batted second for us a few games. He batted third, so we moved around the order. You know, defensively, he handles himself, you know, plays some center, plays some left. He can play all three spots, but there's not, you know, you don't have to worry about a left-handed matchup with him. You know, he'll take his knocks. He'll drive the ball to left field. He'll drive it to left center. He'll turn on one. He'll hit, you know, he'll hit one over the wall, right field, right center, and he could really hit. And you know, when a hitter goes up and you know, he's hard to pitch against, and he can move the ball around foul pole to foul pole and drive it gap to gap like he can, and you know, leave the yard at will. I mean, you know, you're in a tough spot as a pitcher. Yeah. And you know, he was in a good place. He was in a good place all summer. You know, he hit all summer, and you know, and he handled high level pitching all summer long. And you know, I can't say enough about the kid's work ethic. You know, in 2016, he fell a little bit short of making the 15U national team in 2016. And, you know, I've followed his progress ever since then. I was part of the 15U national team trial staff then. And, you know, I remember how difficult it was then. And just to see that kid's maturation and see where he is today and still see the growth that's still in there. There's still a lot of untapped potential and things like that. But, you know, he put his head down and he's really worked hard. And, I couldn't be more proud of how he handled himself, and he led us offensively, and we rallied around him, and, you know, when we needed a big knock or we needed an at-bat or whatever it is, you know, it might not even be a hit. There was an at-bat against I want to say it was Panama, you know, in one of those must-win games. He hit just a simple ground ball to second, moved a guy over, and the guy scored on the, you know, next batter brought him in, and it's those little things that he took care of that, you know, really stood out.
Yeah, just to point out his stat line, he hit .472, .524, .806 to lead the team in hitting, and I think he was like top five, top three in a number of offensive categories for the entire tournament.
That is good. That is a good slash line.
It's pretty solid. another guy who had a really impressive tournament for another reason was his teammate in center field, Peter Armstrong, and we were talking about this a little bit earlier, but I think Pete's defense in this tournament was maybe the most impressive that I've ever seen. He had multiple what would be home run robbing catches if it weren't for just how the outfield fences. If you hit it over, it's a double. I actually hit on a couple of these fields. But either way, making highlight reel plays, coming in on balls, sliding catches, jumping over the fence to grab balls. I mean, and Peter Armstrong, our listeners, most of you already know who he is. But, I mean, can you kind of just speak to his defensive ability in addition to his kind of all-around game?
Yeah, I mean, that was an impressive run, of defensive plays. You know, I got a text while we were over there, and it's like, hey, like any idea what his defensive runs saved are?
Yeah,
and, you know,
I think I tweeted that same thing as well.
And I'm just like, you know what? It's pretty impressive, and he made some highlight reel plays. And there was at one point he made a play, and I walked to the end of the dugout, and I went to our press officer Emily, who does a phenomenal job. I was like, tell me you got that, please, because that is awesome. And I want that clip.
Yeah.
And you know, he did a great job, and he was the leader in the outfield. He was the leader defensively for us, and constantly communicating. Him and Hassel had a great rapport out there, and you know, the way Hassel and Pete Crow Armstrong played defense. You know, along with Vukovic in right field or Austin Hendrick in right field, those four guys roaming the outfield, it allowed Coach Ritchie to really position our guys. And when you have someone like Pete Crow Armstrong in center, you could do a few different things with your off outfielders. And you know, Pete was certainly the leader of that group, and he took charge defensively for us. And you know, that's not even touching on his offensive ability. And he's a spark plug at the top of the order. You know, led off several games with, I think, two or three games with a triple. And
it seemed like three straight at one point.
Yeah, at one point. And you know, I think what he brings to the table is second to none. And he's an outstanding baseball player, but you know, just an even better human being. He's a great kid. He works hard. He's a hard worker. He was one of the leaders on this ball club, and you know, he's worn the colors, you know, three or four times now. I believe it's four times. I think, you know, 12U, 15U, 18U twice, and you know, Pete is, you know, what USA Baseball embodies, you know, speaking of his baseball ability, but you know, his character and his work ethic, you know, along with a lot of these guys, like I said, Hassel and all these guys, same thing. You know, he was just a leader of our group, and you know, very, very fortunate to have him with us.
Speaking of defense, I do also want to ask you that you mentioned already Drew Roma. You know, when you talk about a catcher who has kind of a well-rounded package, Roma stands out, especially What did you all see with him, you know, defensively, you know, but all around in this tournament and through the summer?
Yeah, I mean, Drew again is a leader, you know, along with Pete. You know, he if you're looking up the middle, you have Drew Romo behind the plate, Milan Tolentino at short, you know, Hunter Haas at second base, and you know, Pete Crow Armstrong at center field, right? Not too bad. So, you know, Drew and Pete, it were two guys that were on last year's club, and you know, not only did we look to them to perform, we also looked to them to be leaders.
They've gone through it. They have a better understanding, understandably, of what.
Absolutely, and they, you know, Drew did a great job of managing and handling this pitching staff. He called a great game. He worked hand in hand with Coach Bankhead on the game plan, and you know, Drew did a phenomenal job there.
Let me ask you on that, 'cause that is interesting. I say he called a great game. How? Because again, we know, you know, like nowadays, you know, catchers don't get a whole lot of opportunities to, you know, they're putting the signals down a lot of times, but how did that work for you guys? Like, I mean, was he part of the process, or, you know, how did that work?
Well, he was certainly part of the process. You know, obviously, all the games were, you know, were streamed and things like that. So we had some opportunities to watch every game and to do some advanced scouting and do some different things. And our coaching staff worked diligently. You know, with the five of us, you know, the coaching staff, myself, we were at every other game in the tournament, and you know, kind of split up and, you know, and kind of dug in and did some advanced reporting. And, you know, what Coach Bankhead did is he would talk to Drew, he would talk to the pitcher, and they would kind of develop a game plan and those types of things. And, you know, Drew was right there in the middle of it. And, you know, he handled himself great. And you know, our pitchers had the freedom, you know, to, you know, obviously I think there were some suggested things that went on, but our pitchers had the freedom to be comfortable out there. And if they saw something that maybe we didn't from the bench, or Coach Bankhead didn't from the bench, he was able to, you know, the pitcher or Drew was able to kind of follow their gut and follow their lead. So Drew did a phenomenal job there.
Yeah, I remember talking with Drew over the summer. I think it was actually after the PDP league, and just his aptitude for figuring out hitters' tendencies and pitchers' strengths and just kind of catering the game plan to that. It seems like he just picks things up super quickly.
He does. He does. He's a bright kid. He's a bright young man. And again, another extremely hard worker, you know, mm-hmm. baseball rap, but just an extremely humble individual. And, you know, when you have guys like that are kind of, you know, in the middle of your defense and kind of leading your group, I mean, you know, you're in a really good place. So, you know, again, you know, very fortunate for Drew and guys like that to be part of this group, mm-hmm. and to have those natural leadership qualities and abilities kind of stand out.
Yeah. Another catcher on this roster who didn't get as much playing time as Drew, but when he did, it seemed like he came in clutch for you guys. Hit .429 over seven games, I think, seven ABs. Jack Bulger, another really talented catcher. Just kind of speak to his game as well and kind of the value of having a backup catcher, really, like at that caliber.
Yeah, Jack's, again, he's another one. You know, it didn't really show defensively what he could do. He didn't mm-hmm. have many opportunities there. But, again, he took his role in stride mm-hmm. and, you know, Jack had a you know, a great summer. He had an outstanding opportunity to be with us, and he handled it great. And, mm-hmm. you know, Jack was someone that we looked to kind of have opportunities to, you know, to hit in the middle of the order at times, or, mm-hmm. you know, come off the bench in a big spot. And he did a great job there. He, you know, every opportunity he had, he did well with. And he had a big base hit, pinch hit base hit against Correa, mm-hmm. You know, in the middle of that game, and it was pretty early to go to your bench for a pitch hit opportunity, but we had the momentum on our mm-hmm. side, and Coach Leggett felt we needed to keep the momentum, and it was a huge spot. And mm-hmm. Jack, you know, very first pitch comes in ready to hit.
Yeah.
It's raining, it's windy, all these things, and he lines a single up the middle for a big run for us. And you know, he did a great job with that. And then, you know, he was thrown in arguably the toughest spot of the tournament. Mm-hmm. You know, the last out of the game, and He pinch hit it in the ninth, and with the tying run on second, the winning run on first, and he put together mm-hmm. a phenomenal at bat. He ripped a ball foul down the left field line that was just foul, and then he lined out to the right fielder. He couldn't hit the ball any harder. He couldn't hit, you know, he hit it right to someone as hard as he possibly could, and you know, again, ended the ball game. But you know, you couldn't be more proud of mm-hmm. how he handled himself in his role, and that was his role, and he did a great job with that. And you know, again, if that's we're looking at that as your second or third catcher, mm-hmm. You're in a really good spot.
Yeah, I feel like that's also impressive too, because guys like Jack, I can't imagine they have a lot of experience coming off the bench and being pinch hitters, kind of the caliber that they're at. But on a team like this, someone has to do that role, and it sounds like he did it well. Kind of just going through the lineup, and we can touch on some other pitchers or some other positions if you want. But Colby Halter was a guy who, again, just seemed like he produced for you guys.
Yeah, Colby had a great tournament. Again, Colby's had a great summer, and you know, the thing about Colby is that, you know, you can't tell if he's having a good day or a bad day, and yeah. He is locked in and dialed in at all times. And you know, again, he played, you know, majority of his opportunities came at third base for mm-hmm. us. But when we got into our bench, we did some different things. When Coach Leggett made some moves, you know, we were very comfortable with him playing second, and you know, he hit in the middle of our order, and he'd come off the mound, you know, go on the mound and be mm-hmm. 88 to 90 and pound the zone with strikes, and just his energy and his effort and his attention to detail. And, you know, he was dialed in and locked in at all times. And that's, again, that was, you know, a true, mm-hmm. he handled himself like a true professional. And, again, he's another one who, you know, very low maintenance. You don't have to worry about it. You know, he shows up with his hard hat on, and he goes to work every single day. And, you know, again, couldn't be more proud of him and how he handled everything this summer. And just another phenomenal kid and extremely hard worker. And he did a great job. And mm-hmm. I think the sky's the limit for him. And I think this summer, you know, a lot of people kind of took notice of, you know, him just, you know, the way he plays mm-hmm. the game and the level he plays it at, and his ability to move around the field a little bit. And, you know, he plays third, he plays second. You can slide him over to first. He can get on the mound. He can do different things, play some outfield. And, again, he does a great job. And, you know, he was someone that gave us some positional flexibility, and you kind of hit on it with Jack. You know, not many guys come off the bench, and mm-hmm. you're right. This is a 20-man roster, and, you know, we started this process with 80 players, and then, you know, when you add players from the 17-year development program, you're talking about well over 80 players that you have to find the right 20. Mm-hmm. And, again, I think that this group was that, and, you know, it sometimes becomes a challenge to slot guys in the roles, but, you know, everyone kind of handled their role the right way. And, you know, guys like Jack and or Colby and guys like that, they understood what things were about and did a great job.
Yeah, Colby was third on the team in hitting over this tournament, 419, 486, 548, and he was one of four pitchers who didn't allow a run, two shutout innings. That's super valuable, obviously. Then another guy, actually, I should have mentioned him when I talked about the catchers, because Tyler Soderstrom can certainly catch, but definitely a guy who wowed some people with his bat over the summer. Another guy who seems like he can play a number of different positions for you guys, help you out with his versatility. But kind of talk about his game, because he was a guy who, entering the summer, I would definitely say that, like, at least from my perspective, Drew Romo was kind of like the catcher. And then Tyler Soderstrom just went off this summer, and it sounds like a lot of scouts are really excited about his talent.
Yeah, and they should be. he's got some loud tools. You know, he has a plus arm behind the plate, plus athlete behind the plate. You know, could get out from behind the plate and play third. He could mm-hmm. play first. He could play outfield. You know, I know that he'll be 90-92 on the mound. You know, and if for us, we looked at how do we get the best 20 guys on a roster, mm-hmm. and how do we get the best 9 guys in the lineup? And, and for us, that was a combination of, you know, Jack and Drew Romo and Soderstrom, and, you know, how do we get them in the lineup as much as possible? And mm-hmm. and Tyler, again, he solidified the middle of our order, and you know, he played some games in the left, and he got some innings at first, and, mm-hmm. and he started a game behind the plate and did a great job. And you know, but he is super, you know, super exciting player to watch. Mm-hmm. And he has a lot of tools. And you know, you mentioned scouts being pretty excited about him, and they should be. You know, he's another one. He's a low heartbeat type of kid, mm-hmm. and you know, nothing fazed him. You know, very simple in the box, and you know, he hit. You knew when he was up that he was going to hit a ball hard. And you know, I think towards the end of the tournament, the average didn't show, you know, quite what he would like, but mm-hmm. but the at bats were what they were. And they were really good, solid at bats, mm-hmm. and they were productive team at bats. You know, whether it be moving a guy from second to third, or you know, a sack fly, or you know, a loud out. You know, we knew that, you know, when he was up, you know, that something special could happen, mm-hmm. or was going to happen. And again, he's another one who handled a different role. You know,
yeah,
He's one of the best catchers in the country. And, you know, he didn't catch a whole bunch.
Yeah.
And he was asked to DH, and that's not easy. Kids, you know, of this caliber aren't used to coming off the bench, aren't used to being the designated hitter. And he handled it. Handled it great. And, again, another good kid to be around
yeah.
and, you know, keeps it light and has fun and, you know, good teammate and all those things. So, but, you know, the tools are loud. And like I said, you mentioned scouts being excited. Uh-huh. They should be. He's going to be really interesting to watch and really fun to watch this spring. And, you know, again, one of the better hitters in the class, and there's no doubt about mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, definitely keep an eye on Tyler Soderstrom moving forward. Another guy who flashed the leather, was really fun. I mean, honestly, for me, one of the most fun players to watch, Milan Tolentino, playing shortstop for you guys, a number of really impressive defensive plays that I got to see, hitting towards the back of the lineup, but did a pretty nice job with the bat as well. And I know you guys had a number of different players who can move all around the infield. It seems like Tolentino is another one of those guys who could do that for you if you needed.
Yeah, it, you know, his ability to play a premium position, such as shortstop and stick there, I think mm-hmm. is, you know, something that, you know, is obviously, you know, extremely valuable from mm-hmm. a scouting perspective,
yeah.
right? But the way he plays the game, you know, he kind of thinks a little bit outside the box at shortstop. He's mm-hmm. thinking two plays ahead and, you know, did a very good job of kind of handling the middle of the infield for us and being kind of the quarterback, you know, along with, you know, I mentioned it earlier, you have Drew Roman behind the plate, you have him at short, and you have Pete Armstrong up the middle.
That's pretty strong.
That's a pretty strong middle of the field right there. And, you know, all the college coaches who might be listening to this, if they could say that they'd be recruiting guys like that and that's how you would start a recruiting class, you know, I think they'd be pretty excited about that. So, but, yeah, you know, Milan did a great job. You know, he did a good job defensively for us, and he was the leader of the defense. And, you know, obviously playing shortstop, you know, on this club, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of good players like Bobby Witt Jr.
No doubt.
And Anthony Volpe and, you know, Royce Lewis, Bryce Terang, guys like that. And there's a long storied history of shortstops on this club. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, defensively he handled himself, you know, right there, up there with those guys. And, you know, again, could play some third if we needed him to, could play second if we needed him to. He pitched in trials and was mm-hmm. prepared to do that. And he's another team guy that would do whatever we needed and, you know, again, handle himself the right way and did a great job.
Yeah, let's just keep running out the infield, I guess. Hunter Haas, again, I feel like with all of these guys and with a 20-man roster, you kind of have to have that positional flexibility. But Hunter Haas, another guy that it seems like you can just plug him in at any infield position and he can get the job done for you. Maybe didn't do as much as he would have wanted to offensively, but again, that defensive flexibility and versatility.
For sure. And Hunter, again, Hunter's another great story. You know, we talked about in 2016 where Robert Hassel just fell short of the 15U mm-hmm. national team. Hunter's another one of those mm-hmm. stories. You know, I think he got cut, you know, for the 12U national team, and I think he got, you know, in 2017 he didn't quite make the 15U national team, mm-hmm. and this was another opportunity, a great example of, you know, what USA Baseball means to someone. And, mm-hmm. You know, he kept working hard. He kept growing. He kept developing. He kept working on his game. And he plays at a really good high school, Corona de Sol, out in Arizona. And, you know, he did a great job. You know, he primarily played shortstop at his high school, and we asked him to play second base. And, mm-hmm. you know, he could really pick it at third
yeah.
base as well. And, you know, just the way the roster was shaping up and what we were looking for and what we needed, you know, it looked like Hunter was going to be a guy that could do just that. He could move around the infield for us. He could do some things in the bottom of the order for us on mm-hmm. this roster and, you know, put the ball on the ground for us if we needed it and, you know, be a back control type of guy. And he did a great job. And, you know, Hunter's someone that's going to give you his best effort every single time. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, the chemistry that him and Milan showed throughout trials and the chemistry that they continue to show throughout the World Tournament,
mm-hmm.
you know, was evident and how they played defense. And, you know, having those two guys up the middle was something special.
Yeah, no doubt. And we haven't even touched on two of maybe the biggest power threats on this team, in A.J. Vukovic and Austin Hendrick. I mean, it was funny watching a couple of these games, seeing Austin Hendrick come off the bench as a pinch hitter, and it's like, that is a very dangerous bat to have available just to kind of pinch hit in key opportunities. One of the better power hitters in this class. Just kind of touch on those two and their offensive potential and just what they did for you guys this summer.
Well, yeah, and first of all, with Austin, I mean, Austin has I couldn't be more proud of that young man. I mean, he, you know, where he was last year to where he is this year is mm-hmm. is tenfold. And it goes to show how hard he wants it and
mm-hmm.
or how much he wants it and how hard he's worked at it. You know,
yeah.
he's made some big-time adjustments, and he had an unbelievable summer. And, you know, again, his the results in the world tournament might not be what he was looking for. But by no means is it because of effort or anything like that. He hits balls hard again, right at guys. He hit two balls hard in the gold medal game, you know, right at people. One of them in the ninth inning, you know, and there were several occasions throughout the tournament where he just hit a ball on the screws right to someone, and he lined up to center once and hit a rocket to the second baseman once, and those are things that, you know, that good hitters, that happens to good hitters, and, you know, it happens to good hitters more often than it happens to others, and, you know, he handled it great, and he you know, you're right, the power is real, and you saw that all summer, you know, you saw it in trials. He had a long home run in trials, and he had some big home runs at the PDP league, and he, you know, competed in the high school home run derby and did an awesome job. And he's another kid, you know, a Northeastern kid, and you know, I'm from the Northeast, so I take a liking to him. You know, even though he's a Steelers fan and I'm a Bills fan, so you know, we had a couple conversations about that, but just an unbelievable kid, hard worker, and you know, he's someone who made it all the way to the end last year and fell a little bit short and didn't make last year's team. Of course, last year's team was deep and everything else, and you know, he didn't put his head down and you know sulk about it. He put his head down and he worked, and he made the team this year and just did a phenomenal job. And
it's great. And if you guys are listening, in the next issue of Baseball America, we actually have a feature on kind of some of the swing changes that Austin Hendrick did at PDP League with USA Baseball. That was fascinating, just to kind of get his mindset and how he was able to do that, make a pretty substantial mechanical change that's going to make him a much better hitter in the future. So it'll be fun to watch him. But sorry to cut you off before you touched on Vukovic. Yeah, just last one in the lineup, just A.J. Vukovic. I think you're about to go into what he was able to do for you guys.
Yeah, Vuk, we call him Vuk the Nuke. So he, you know, again, you know, a kid from a cold weather state that probably doesn't see this level of baseball as much as maybe some other guys. You know, just put it together all summer long and, you know, going through the PDP League and going through, you know, some of the other events this summer and going through trials, it was just consistent. And, you know, everything he did was with a, you know, workman's attitude. And, he, you know, he's, again, just a kid that will play right for you, go play first for you. And, you know, came to us in trials and, you know, was like, hey, I want to try to pitch. You know, can I get an opportunity to pitch? And next thing you know, he's 89 to 91 off the mound and pitched twice in the world tournament for us, and which again, as we know, is extremely valuable when you have 9 games in 10 days in a 20-man roster.
You got to have those guys that can just come on and give you innings.
Yep, and Vuk's potential is, you know, his ceiling is extremely high, and he's got a lot of potential, and there's a lot of untapped potential in there. And he continues to get stronger and do some different things, but again, another great kid. And you know, he's someone, you know, whether he gets to Louisville or whether you know, someone takes him good enough for him to sign, he's going to play for a very long time. Another great teammate and someone that, you know, everyone got along with well. And that whole group, there wasn't a single guy on the team that, you know, that we had to worry about. This was a tight group. And again, at the end of the day, the goal is a gold medal. And, you know, we didn't reach that goal. But there were so many more things accomplished this summer that these guys should be very proud of.
Yeah, it seems like a consistent theme with the USA Baseball guys is high character on and off the field. So kind of hard to be on the team if you don't have that. But touching into some of the pitchers now, you've mentioned a couple of these, and obviously some of the hitters hopped on the mound and helped you out. But a guy that was really fun to watch, I think he was on the all-world team, is Alejandro Rosario. I mean, you mentioned it. I mean, an 8 1/3 inning relief stint. He came on in a number of different key situations. I think he threw the hardest pitch of the entire tournament. I mean, this kid's a flamethrower. I got to see him a little bit throughout the summer. Really impressive, pure stuff. He threw 13 innings for you guys. I think that was team high along with Max Radjic. They both threw 13 innings. But just how valuable is it to have a guy who has that kind of stuff to be able to use him in a relief role and also extend him out when you needed to?
Yeah, I mean, 13 innings out of the bullpen. You know, you could look at that and say, "Man, you were in a really tough spot," and we were. But what he did was he pitched in some really tight spots. You know, he came in against Spain when we were down, took the lead. You know, came in against Australia. It was tied. Closed the door. Allowed us to walk off with Drew Romo single in the bottom of the ninth.
Made some good defensive plays in that game too, if I remember.
Yeah, he made a great well, and he'll laugh about this if he ever listens to this. He got confused on a popped up bunt,
yeah.
And then next thing you know, he barehands the next bunt and throws one to third on the run, and he looks in the dugout and he's laughing. I'm like, oh my goodness. So, but just, you know, and then he came in against Korea for 8 1/3 out of the bullpen, mm-hmm. and we were down 5-0, and he gave us a chance. And, you know, he, anywhere between 95 to 99, and it's strikes. He throws a 13 1/3. I know you have it there. One or two walks, mm-hmm. the entire tournament?
Yeah, he had 9 strikeouts, just 2 walks over 13 innings. Pretty good. Allowed just 1 earned run.
Yeah, and it's not just – and he's not just, you know, he's not just up there running up there 95, 97, 99. He's mm-hmm. pitching. And,
yeah.
you know, I think, you know, him and I have a long relationship, long history with each other. You know, he was on the 15U team in 2017, and mm-hmm. I was fortunate enough to be the pitching coach on. And
yeah.
I've known him since then, and we've stayed in touch and, you know, have stayed in constant contact. And, you know, where he is now from where he was then, just in regards to, you know, understanding the game and, mm-hmm. and learning the game and those types of things, he's a sponge.
Yeah.
And he just does a phenomenal job. He's grown into that body, and he's a lot more physical than he looks. And again, he comes from a baseball rich area in Miami, and does a great job of listening and learning and wanting to learn and wanting to grow. And he wants the ball in a tough spot. I mean, he threw just over 100 pitches against Korea, and the next day, you know, we're in tight spots against Chinese Taipei in the game, and he's a guy that, man, I want the ball. I wish I could pitch today. And it's like, you know, it's those types of guys, you know, that kind of make it worth your time. And, you know, I couldn't speak more highly of him. He's just a phenomenal kid.
The average teenager who throws 95 can touch 99 generally doesn't have a whole lot of idea where that's going yet. And that's okay. That's understandable. You know, you've been gifted with a lightning bolt, and it takes a little while to learn how to aim that lightning bolt. What is it, you know, like I said, you love to kind of dive into pitching. What is it about him what is it about his delivery or him, or what is it that allows him to kind of, you know, to locate that and have some ability to pitch with it, not just blow it by hitters?
Well, the first thing is, you know, he's extremely athletic, and, you know, I don't like to get into he repeats his delivery, because, you know, as we know, every delivery and every pitch is different, but it's as close to repeatable as mm-hmm. as it can be. And, you know, you combine being athletic with, you know, having a pretty darn clean delivery, and then you combine that with a pretty good amount of confidence, and next thing you know, you have someone who's in the zone all the time. And part of that too is, you know, part of that too is understanding that, you know, he has good stuff, so he doesn't shy away from contact. Mm-hmm. You know, 13 innings, 9 strikeouts, but batting average against was less than 200, less than 100, you know, and that's because he pitches to contact, and he's not afraid to let the other team put the ball in play. And, you know, a kid like that who, you know, is 97, 99 or 95, 97, whatever it is on that day, you know, he would say, man, he's close to tapped out. I mean, it's a quick arm, and there's much more in the tank. And, you know, he again, extremely high ceiling. And but, you know, you combine his athleticism and his work ethic and, you know, his clean delivery,
yeah.
his lack of fear, you know, total confidence in what he's doing, and that's when you get those types of pitchers.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. I'm always impressed with how little effort there seems to be in his delivery, so he's fun to watch. But it's hard to touch on your pitchers without also bringing up Kyle Harrison very early, left-handed pitcher committed to UCLA. He threw 10 innings, didn't allow a run in any of those innings, 12 strikeouts, 4 walks. I mean, he seemed as consistent as they come for you guys.
Well, Kyle set the tone for us.
Yeah.
You know, when we came into this thing, you know, we looked at our schedule and we looked at a bunch of different things and a bunch of different factors. You know, we wanted someone that was going to go out and set the tone early,
mm-hmm.
that was also going to be able to bounce back and give us some length. And mm-hmm. Kyle did just that. And, you know, he set the tone early against South Africa and, you know, 4 days later bounced back and continued that trend against Panama and, you know, and then came in a tight spot in the gold medal game and mm-hmm. pitched well. He made his pitch. You know, he made a pitch to get out of an inning, and unfortunately, we didn't make a play behind him. But, you know, he did a great job. And mm-hmm. and again, he just set the tone. He set the tone by throwing strikes and filling the zone up. And, you know, his ball in the zone, you know, it's hard to get a beat on. It's hard to get a barrel on it. And, you know,
from a tough angle, huh?
Tough angle. He hides it well. And, you know, again, it kind of comes out of that earlobe. And, you know, again, just someone who set the tone for our staff. Mm-hmm. And you know, day one, he did what he did. And then Radjic followed it up. And then, you know, and then we just kind of went from there. So
we can just go ahead and dive into Radjic because he threw a brilliant game. I think it was the one you're talking about, the second game. But 13.1 innings, 1.35 ERA, just two earned runs allowed, 10 strikeouts to just one walk. And over the summer when I got to watch him, I thought, wow, this guy seems like one of the best pure pitchers in the class. And he's a guy who it seems like I've been watching him for a number of different years playing with a powerhouse high school team. But, again, another guy who just knows how to pitch on the mound for this club.
Yeah, he could really pitch. And you mentioned it, you know, he comes from a great program, Orange Lutheran High School, and you know, great staff up there and things like that. And he could pitch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's that combination of power and finesse. Mm-hmm. You know, he was still 94 in the eighth inning against Australia in the first super round game. And, you know, in his second outing of the tournament at the end of summer, you know, for a guy, you know, like that to still be pitching and operating at, you know, 91, 94 that late in a tournament, that late in a ball game is pretty impressive. But he's got a power breaking ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he could throw it for a strike. He could bounce it. He could swing and miss it. He could do a bunch of things. You glove strike it, whatever it is. And, again, he moves it in and out of the zone. He could put it in a thimble. And just someone who competes. He wants the ball. And, you know, obviously against Australia, he kept coming into the dugout. And, you know, Banky kept checking on him. How you feeling? I want one more. Want another one. Want another one. And you know, he kept running him out there. And he just did a phenomenal job. And he's someone who, again, he keeps it light. He keeps the dugout, you know, nice and relaxed, and you know, has fun when he's not pitching. But when it's his game day, you know, he's locked in and he's ready to go. And again, another one who had a plethora of experience here before, you know, being on this club, and he understood what it meant, what to expect, and he understood, you know, kind of how to operate and go about himself.
Yeah, and I think he's also won the NHSI like every year he's been in high school, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think they've won it four straight.
I think it's three.
Is it three?
So if they come back here, he has a chance to win basically the NHSI
the entire time. Yeah, so
that's pretty impressive.
And they will be back. So yeah.
I assumed they would. I don't know if anything's been announced, but I imagine the three-peat guys have been there.
I hope Carter doesn't get mad at me. Maybe I just spilled the beans.
I think most people would assume that, but it's crazy that we've touched on these guys and we haven't even talked about Mick Abel. I'm sure listeners to the podcast definitely know of Mick Abel. I mean, he's one of the best.
If you don't already, you will.
If you don't, you need to subscribe to Baseball America because you will know about him. But Mick Abel,
nice,
I mean.
Nice, the organic.
There
animal.
You go. I can slide it in there. But, I mean, it's hard to undersell him. I mean, one of the most talented pitchers in the country, great frame, really projectable. Another guy who just seems like, and with a lot of these high school kids who are as tall as he is, often you don't see them synced up as consistently as, from my perspective, he seems to be. But another guy with premium stuff, a really good slider. The numbers probably aren't as good as you would expect from him, but just touch on Mick Abel's talent and what he kind of did for you guys.
Well, sky's the limit for Mick. Like you said, he's super projectable, you know, tall, lean body. He's got the typical pitcher's build. Mm-hmm. And, he has a great routine. He's got, you know, he's great, you know, great way about his business. He works hard at it. You know, he knows what he's trying to do out there. And again, you know, I don't get caught up in numbers. You know, we play 9 games in 10 days.
Yeah.
It's a small sample size. And, you know, we talked about it with Hendrick, right? You know, those aren't the numbers he expects, but no one sees on the stat sheet that he hit 6 or 7 balls on the screws.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, no one sees that. Mm-hmm. You can't quantify that, right? So he, you know, numbers might not be for Mick what he had hoped and things like that, but you wouldn't know it. Great teammate the entire time. Just you know, he's got great stuff. Slider's a special pitch, and you know, he operates in the low to mid 90s pretty consistently. He's got feel for a changeup, and you know, anytime you have a kid like that who's low to mid 90s, has ran it up to 96, 98, is you know a time or two here or there, and with feel for a changeup and a power slider like that, I mean, you're talking about someone really special.
Yeah.
And he was someone that. You know, he was someone that, you know, throughout this process, another one, you know, similar to Hendrick, you know, was part of trials last year and came all the way to the end and didn't make the club. And I know how much this meant to him. And it was evident, you know, how he went about his business all summer long. Mm-hmm. There was a workmanlike attitude about it. And, you know, to see his expression on his face and Austin's expression and guys like that, you know, and Hunter Haas and Robert Hassel and those guys who have maybe fallen short in the past with USA Baseball. when to see the expression on their faces when they made the club. Yeah. You know, that's special. That's special to me. It's special to our staff. And but again, back to Mick. I mean, again, he great stuff. And you know, he's going to be someone that like JJ mentioned. If you don't know who he is, you better read up on him, because he's another one who's going to pitch for a long time. And you know, again, I couldn't say enough about the kid. Another great competitor, good kid, and you know, was proud to have him on the team, and you know, really looking forward to following his future and his progress.
Yeah, and outside of just his pure tools, every single time I bring him up to anyone, they just rave about what kind of person he is off the field. Just great makeup, great work ethic. So that's always good to hear.
It's not so often that you have a pitcher asked to do a chart, because they enjoy doing it. And so I appreciate that too, because he always wanted to learn. Mm-hmm. He was trying to absorb something, whatever it was. He was trying to learn something. And, you know, he was big in learning about data and analytics, and he wanted to learn from it. You know, throughout the summer, he would always talk to our intern, you know, data and analytics intern, Kyle Sarazen, who's now at Virginia Tech. He wanted to learn as much as he could about it, which was intriguing. It's good to see those things. Mm-hmm. And
there are 30 MLB teams who are hearing that going, yeah. You know, we love the pitchers who, you know.
Yeah, that's it.
But just that curiosity and that aptitude to kind of pick up those things and implement in your
own game. So, you know, again, another kid who has a sound and solid routine, and he's going to be very special for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Another really impressive pitcher is Ben Hernandez. 9 innings, 10 strikeouts, no walks. Again, a lot of really good pitchers on this team, and maybe one of the better changeups in the class. I got to see him a little bit throughout the summer, but kind of just speak to Ben's game. And I'm kind of just throwing out names and telling you to break them down
That's all right. Yeah, no, Ben is another one. You know, he from another cold weather state and everything else, and, you know, a pretty interesting situation for Ben is, you know, Ben gave up a double in Taiwan, and you know, he was pretty upset about it. Not like, you know, he's like, man, I can't, like, that ball was a good pitch, hit a double, and he goes, "Yeah, that's the first double I've given up all year." Wow, don't worry, young man, you're gonna give up a few more. No, but Ben was awesome. He's a salt of the earth kid, just a phenomenal teammate. You know, there'd be times where we'd be picking up equipment, and we assigned equipment to certain guys, and he'd be picking up other guys' stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I got it. And, you know, and it's just one of those guys that every time you turn around, he was helping someone out. Mm-hmm. He was cleaning up the dugout. He was doing something that, you know, that sometimes you have to ask kids to do.
Yeah. And he's got that Midwest work ethic.
Exactly. That's it. So he, again, salt of the earth type of kid. And I'm just talking about the person and the personality. Mm-hmm. He's someone that, you know, that I think any organization or any college or any team would love to have in their clubhouse. Mm-hmm. And to talk about the ball player, I mean, again, special, another kid that has, you know, a real high ceiling and special stuff. And he does have one of the better changeups in the class, and he could throw it in off counts. Mm-hmm. He could throw it backwards. He could, you know, throw it for a swing and miss. Mm-hmm. He could throw it for a strike and do some different things with it. And, Ben had a rough start against Japan. And, you know, a lot of times when kids have rough outings, or they get, you know, maybe they fall on a stretch offensively, mm-hmm. where they're not performing, whatever it may be, you know, sometimes it's easy to shy away from that. He went out, and again, another one of those must-win games against Canada, and he absolutely set the tone.
Yeah.
He dealt, and he got us through that ball game, and he saved bullpen innings. He did everything that we asked him to do the second time out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what's impressive to me. Is he didn't have a great outing against mm-hmm. Japan, and he didn't sit around for 4 days and worry about it and cry about it, and, you know, he next time up, he answered the bell, and he answered it in a big way.
Yeah.
And that set us up for the game against Korea. That allowed us to use Rosario for 8 innings, mm-hmm. and that allowed Nolan McClain to come in and finish, and that allowed so-and-so, you know, so he did a great job for us there. Mm-hmm. And again, someone that is, you know, raised right and very respectful kid, and just a very humble young man. And again, couldn't be more proud to spend time with him this summer.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, you mentioned him right there, Nolan McClain. I think he's maybe the only guy that we didn't talk about with the position players. I should have brought him up. But Nolan, a guy who's kind of in our neck of the woods here in North Carolina, but a two-way guy with power offensively. He's got some power on the mound as well. A two-sport guy. I think he's a really talented quarterback as well. Again, we go back to this, the versatility of these guys. But Nolan, what did he bring to the table for you guys?
Well, that's just it. You said the word versatility, and that's exactly what he provided. another kid we asked to do something different, put him in a different role. You know, mm-hmm. at his high school, he plays the left side of his infield and then comes in and closes games. Mm-hmm. We asked him to play first base, DH, and pitch. Mm-hmm. When you're developing a 20-man roster, you're going to ask probably 9 or 10 of those guys to be in a role that they're not used to.
Yep.
And he handled it great. And you could tell that he's a quarterback of his high school team. He's got yeah. great leadership ability. You know, and he's just, again, another unbelievable kid. And, you know, he pitched well for us. He threw a big inning against Korea and threw two big innings against Panama, I believe it was. And he did a great job. And he started to catch on offensively about halfway through, you know, a big home run against Panama and had a knock the next day against Australia to mm-hmm. get us on the board, and then had a knock. You know, had a base hit, an RBI against Canada, and they had a big hit against Korea and closed the game out and, you know, everything else. And against, you know, Taiwan in the gold medal game, he scolded a ball to right center field mm-hmm. that, you know, was caught at the warning track, you know, 4 or 5 feet from the fence. And he can't speak enough of his skill set and his tools. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think some decision makers are going to have a hard time. You know, is he a position player or a pitcher? And
yep.
I think he's a great athlete, and he'll, you know, from the person standpoint, he'll do whatever he's asked. And you know, I can't say enough about the kid. And on the mound, you know, he's got a power fastball. It's heavy. You know, it's like a bowling ball coming yeah. in there. And he never really see him get barreled up. And you know, he's got a good breaking ball. He works down in the zone. And you know, when he competes, it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
And again, another guy that, you know, another guy that you could turn to in a big spot. And you know, he did a great job. And I'm looking forward to watching him. You know, like you said, local kid. You know, gonna go watch him play a high school football game here sometime soon. So mm-hmm. looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, no doubt. I think we've got 3 other pitchers to touch on here, if I am reading the roster correctly. But Lucas Gordon is a guy who gave you guys. I think he started one game and then maybe came in relief in another. 1.23 ERA, 7.1 innings, 5 strikeouts, 5 walks. What you got on Lucas?
Yeah, Lucas is another guy that I spent a lot of time around. You know, again, he was on that 2017-15 U team mm-hmm. that I was fortunate enough to be the pitching coach on, and known him quite a while. Mm-hmm. And Lucas did a good job. He you know, again, it kind of our staff as a whole had a rough day against Japan. You know, mm-hmm. we didn't come out in it. You know, we didn't come out and attack that day, and you know, Lucas had an opportunity to pitch that day, and it didn't fare so well. And again, he's another kid that he didn't dwell on it. He didn't let it fester. He started the gold medal game, and he gave us exactly what we needed. He pitched his tail off, and he put us in position to win that ball game. And I couldn't be more proud of one, his response to a rough outing earlier in the tournament, but to respond in that setting, on that mm-hmm. stage, you know, in front of a packed house. He did a great job for us. And, you know, again, another guy, you know, upper 80s, touching 90, touching 91, but could pitch backwards, you know, could throw it, you know, mm-hmm. you know, glove strike at any time. And, you know, he did a good job, and he competed when we needed it the most. You know, mm-hmm. he got length in the gold medal game. He put our team in position to win, and couldn't be more proud of him. And he did a phenomenal job of, again, answering and responding, and you know, again, put us in position to win the ball game.
Yeah, no doubt. And then the last 2 guys, Raleigh Hector threw 5 innings for you, 3 strikeouts, 1 walk, and then Jason Savickle didn't throw. These last 2 guys didn't throw a ton of innings, but Savickle, one of the 4 pitchers who didn't allow an earned run. 2 strikeouts, 3 walks over 2 2/3 innings, but again, just quality arms that you guys can run out in relief.
Yeah, Savickle, you know, him and I, he's a Central New Yorker. I'm from Western New York, so you know, we connected pretty well this summer. We had a chance to talk about, you know, his innings and things like that, mm-hmm. and he understood his role. His role was, he was kind of that stopper out of the bullpen, and, mm-hmm. and the way the game shaped up and the way things took place, that's, you know, kind of factored into, you know, limited amount of mm-hmm. innings. You know, 3 appearances, which is a good amount of appearances, but limited innings.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did a great job of handling his role, and we talked about it. He's like, Frank, I get it. You know, the game didn't dictate, and it is what it is. And
yeah.
again, I wanted to make sure I mentioned that, because he did a great job
for sure.
of understanding his role. And, you know, again, another kid, you know, low 90s, can run up there 94, you know, really good breaking ball, throws it for a strike, gets swings and misses with it, pitches, you know, pitches with intent, attacks, and, just, again, a student of the game. He's mm-hmm. always learning, and you look in the dugout, and he's locked in. And one of the things that stood out to me all summer with him is he keeps a notebook, and he writes things down about the opponents. And, he keeps notes throughout the game, and he writes things down, and he goes back to it. And when he's out there, he knows, or has an idea of how they should be attacking mm-hmm. and things like that. And he did it throughout the PDP league, and he did it. And that's him, and mm-hmm. that's who he is. And I think down the road that's going to pay dividends for him, is just being a student of the game and wanting to learn the game. And he's a very smart young man. And again, thankful he was part of our group. And he was a great teammate mm-hmm. every step of the way, and did a phenomenal job. And then Raleigh Hector, Raleigh is another one. Like Alejandro Rosario and Lucas Gordon, who were on that 2017-15 youth staff. Another one of our underage mm-hmm. kids. Just a phenomenal young man, a salt of the earth type of kid. He came into a really tight spot. We had a late roster addition. Mm-hmm. Had a late roster change and had to fly Raleigh in from Texas. 17 years old on his own from Texas to Korea while we were in Taiwan. He met us there, and there wasn't a single moment of hesitation. Yes sir, no sir type of kid, mm-hmm. and was just awesome. And very thankful that he was willing to come in a tight spot, and I don't mean in the games, but where we were, we needed a guy late. He was at trials, and he was in it all the way till the end, and we knew that if there was a late roster change with the arms, that he was next man up. And I communicated that with him, and mm-hmm. he stayed ready and he stayed locked in, and it showed. And he came in a tight spot against Japan, and he was part of weathering that storm and gave us a chance to win that game and gave mm-hmm. us a chance to chip back, and we did. Mm-hmm. And then he came in and, arguably the toughest spot. He came and followed Lucas, who was doing a great job, and he came in and he faced the middle part of their order. They went five lefties in a row, then they went four tough righties. And, mm-hmm. First guy he faced out of the bullpen was their best hitter. And, he went slider, 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 and see you later. And, did a great job, again, as one of those underage kids mm-hmm. on our club. And, sky's the limit for him, and I'm really looking forward to him. Mm-hmm. Fortunate for us, he has a chance to compete to potentially make the club next year. Yeah. So really looking forward to continuing to follow him and having him continuing to be involved in our program.
Yeah, that's awesome. One minute you don't think you're on the team, and then the next minute you're in the gold medal game in a crazy situation. But I'm glad you started with Raleigh, because another guy who I think was a late add to the team as well is Drew Bowser. And again, I skipped over him for the position player, so sorry about that. But it's kind of wild to have two kids from the same high school also be teammates in the for the 18U national team. And Drew Bowser is another kid who just tools are really exciting.
Yeah, super. Super great kid. Mm-hmm. And like you said, two kids from the same high school. Him and Pete at Harvard Westlake. Again, mm-hmm. Phenomenal coaching staff there. Great program. Mm-hmm. Long storied history of big leaguers coming in. And there's no secret why, right? They're just phenomenal athletes there. And Drew was thrown into another tight spot. It was about 10 hours before we were leaving. For Taiwan, again, we had a something come up, and we needed to make a change on our roster. And I called Drew and I talked through some things with his parents, and we talked through some things, and he met us at LAX the next morning. And, he brought a duffel bag, and we brought a USA team bag with a bunch of stuff, and he changed in the lobby. And next thing you know, he's on the club. He's right there with us. And
that's awesome.
I couldn't be more proud of how he handled that situation. Mm-hmm. Guys like Raleigh and guys like Drew, who fell a little bit short. They didn't pout about it. They didn't bow their head. They didn't have any animosity towards it.
Yeah.
They understood that it's hard for a staff, it's hard for the players to come down to 20 mm-hmm. a final 20 man roster. When I called Drew, he was more than willing to meet up with us in LA the next mm-hmm. day. And I couldn't be more proud of how he handled it. And his family, I know, is proud, and I know his coaching staff at Harvard Westlake is. But, speaking of the tools, sky's the limit for him too. He's going to continue to grow and, mm-hmm. and fill into that body. And, the bat speed's there. He's got a plus arm across the diamond. He plays short at his high school, played some third for us, played some short for us. Mm-hmm. And, the sky's the limit for him. And, really looking forward to seeing how his future unfolds.
Yeah.
And it's going to be really interesting. And again, he's another one who came in a tight spot. He didn't start all but one game for us, but he played in just about every game, I believe. And he had arguably one of the biggest hits of the tournament. You know, we mentioned Jack Bolger came off the bench and had a big pitch hit single against Korea to continue to keep that momentum in our dugout. Well, Drew Bowser had, you know, had the game-winning hit against Korea to give us that lead, and a lead that we didn't relinquish. And, it's, you know, like Rosario shut the door, but he smoked a line drive to left center, and, you know, was, you know, he looks in the dugout, he's fist pumping the dugout, he's running to first base, and it was a huge moment for us. And, you know, again, he's a big part of how, you know, us getting the gold medal.
Yeah. And by the way, if you guys haven't seen, you can go to USA Baseball 18U on Twitter, and you can see a lot of these highlights. We talked about Pete Crow making plays. You can see some of those videos, Drew Bowser's hit, running around. It's fun to watch. If you haven't seen it, definitely go check that out.
But also on YouTube, if you just go to YouTube, I think they're still up there too, like, you know, full games.
There you go. Well, even better. You can watch the whole game. But so if you stuck with us this long, you know the 18U team just about as well as anyone in the country, thanks to Frank. So we appreciate you coming out here and breaking it down. But I wanted to ask you if you still have some time.
It's absolutely. Just,
you touch on a lot of these kids who have either been with the 15U program and were on the team or didn't make the team. But how important is it for these guys to have that experience just with USA Baseball, even if it's not being on a final roster? It seems like the majority of the players who are on this team have some sort of ties previously.
Yeah, and I think it's super important. I think it starts at the top. You know, I think, you know, we have a great leadership group here with USA Baseball, and a lot of, I guess you call them my bosses, so to speak. You know, they were previous 18U directors at some point in time, and you know, USA Baseball is near and dear to a lot of people, and I think when these kids go through it, you know. It's getting to the point now where our 12U program is these kids, I think it was either last year or the year before, I think it was just this past draft, our 12U kids are starting to become draft picks now. Yeah. And I think that speaks volumes to our organization and the pride that we carry each and every day. And, you know, there's people that are in the office that have been there a long time. And, you know, Ashley Bratcher is the senior director of baseball operations, and she oversees the 15U program, and, you know, she oversees the women's program, and she's done stuff with the 12s, and she's done stuff with the NTDPs and things like that. And for me to go to work every day and get to learn from someone like her and get to learn from Paul and Paul Seiler and David Perkins and Ray Darwin, who have, you know, all done what I've done or what I'm doing, and kind of seeing how much pride and passion everyone has. When your staff has that much pride and passion, the players eventually are going to have that much pride and passion. And to see these kids, you know, like a Bowser's another one. You know, Bowser is another kid who, you know, tried out and had several opportunities with USA Baseball. And just for whatever reason, he fell short. You know, he was at 12U trials and got cut. You know, 14U NTDP, didn't get selected to 15U. 17U NTDP, didn't get direct selected to 18U. You know, went to 18U trials, didn't make the team originally, and then got the call and was dropped everything, dropped school, dropped everything he was doing to be part of our program. And and forgive me for saying part of our, he was already part of our program, but to me on the national team, and lo and behold, he had the biggest hit of the tournament. And he helped spring us and propel us to the gold medal game. And a kid like Hunter Haas, you know, started every single game of the tournament and didn't make it when he was 12, didn't make it when he was 15, but they never gave up. And, you know, Robert Hassel might, you know, be one of the highest picks in the draft, you know, certainly one of the best hitters in the country, and, you know, didn't give up after 2016 when he was 15 and didn't make the team. And, excuse me, but, you know, the challenging part is a lot of times, you know, Ashley or myself or, you know, whoever is in these meetings and the managers and the task force, and we select kids, you know, you're telling kids for the first time that they're not quite there yet.
And they've probably never heard
that. They've never heard it.
Yeah.
And the difference maker is how they handle it. And that's going to play the difference in their career moving forward. And, you know, I think the experience we provide these kids and, you know, the developmental aspect of things and, you know, the relationships and the passion and the pride and all those things, you know, it's not just a showcase. It's not just a weekend event. You know, you might just be able to do stuff with us for the week, you know, because that may be the end of your experience. But that week, we always talk about, the kids that were with us at trials for a week, you know, 6 years ago, mm-hmm. whatever it is. And you know, you're always part of that bond and always part of that family, and everyone's part of that process. And, you know, when you get to see kids break through and make the roster, and whether they've made it four times or one time, mm-hmm. that the pride and passion and the joy that comes over their face when they see their USA uniform, and they got USA across the front, they got their name on the back, and what they're about to go through, what they're about to experience, it's just second to none. Mm-hmm. It brings chills to your body. And again, you know, we're not gonna hide behind the fact that, you know, we didn't win a gold medal this year, and that's the gold medal is always the goal. But there's other things along that, mm-hmm. you know, along those, you know, along our journey that are also, you know, considered big time accomplishments. Yeah. To see these kids come together the way they did, to see them compete, to see some of these kids, you know, maybe potentially even raise their draft stock, and yeah. to see other kids.
I'm sure you saw some of that this year.
Absolutely. And to see some of these kids develop, you know, start to develop, you know, long-time friendships that could last a lifetime, and learning opportunities. It's those things that are second to none.
And you hit on one of the things. These are players who generally have never been told, I'm sorry, you didn't make the team, because these are the best players in their area, you know, pretty much throughout growing up. The other thing that stands out is that, and you touched on this, but they go and play on this team, and a whole lot of guys are in different roles than they've ever been before, because it's a 20-man roster, but every one of these kids is one of the best players in the country. And all of a sudden, it's like, hey, you've got to learn how to handle a bench role, which... It's
or not hitting
experience.
In the top four.
You know?
Right.
I mean, you may be, you know, you're one of the top players in the country, but you know what? We need you today to be ready to step in, and, you know, if we need a pinch hit in the eighth, we need you to be ready to do that. How do you know? Again, that's something they're going to have to adjust to long term, because these kids, almost without fail, are going to have long and lengthy, you know, careers going forward in baseball. But how do you get them, as an organization, how do you all get them adjusted to kind of handling those kind of roles when this is a very new experience for them?
Right. I think that always, you know, I think that always falls on our staff, our national team coaching staff. You know, and Coach Leggett, you know, I mean, the guy's a Hall of Famer in like 10 different Hall of Fames. So, you know, he has an uncanny ability to connect with these kids. And, you know, I think the challenge every year is, I think the challenge is exactly what you're talking about. It's taking 20 of the best players in the country and in what we would consider the world, and getting them to buy into a process, getting them to buy into the team mantra. Mm-hmm. And I think Coach Leggett does a phenomenal job with that. And I know, you know, in 2017, you know, when I was on staff, you know, Rob Schabansky was the manager, and he did a phenomenal job of that. And the year before, you know, when I was on the trial staff, Mike Strickland was the manager. He did a good job of that. And just there's so many good people involved with USA Baseball that, you know, that do a great job of connecting with these young men, mm-hmm. and young women. And they do a phenomenal job of, expressing what this opportunity really means and how to go about that. And, again, I'm you know, I'd be naive to say that there isn't a moment of, you know, a time or two of a kid who might not adjust to the role maybe better than, you know, or as well as you'd hope or like another, but that's part of it. That's part of everyone's process. And, you know, our goal is always, again, like I mentioned a dozen times, but our goal is always to win gold medals, but we're also developing young men and young women along the way. And I think the people that we have involved with our organization, the people we have involved with USA Baseball, have that goal in mind. It's let's win a gold medal. Let's develop young men and young women, and let's develop lifelong friendships and relationships along the way. And, you know, I don't know, without USA Baseball, now I'm working here full time, but even before, you know, my being hired by USA Baseball full time, I'm not sure if I would have had some of the opportunities I've had in my career without mm-hmm. USA Baseball. And, you know, I think that's where things, you know, kind of start to separate themselves. And I think you're right. That's the challenge. How do you get a kid to buy into a role? And it starts from the very first day of their time with us. And we talk about what it means and what the role could be and what these, you know, what the end game is and what the experience is about. And, you start to separate kids, and you'll see kids that might not, throughout the trials process or the training process, might not, you know, they might not, you know, be the guy, and mm-hmm. they might be a great ball player, and heck, they might be a first round draft pick, but they might not be for us this year. Yeah. They might not be for our roster, and that's okay. That's part of it, and you know, that's part of what we do, and it's just a lot of diligence, and it's a lot of due diligence, and a lot of communication, and just continuing to drive home that, you know, what we're about and what we stand for. And eventually kind of the cream rises to the top.
Well, awesome.
So I really do appreciate all the time that you gave us, Frank. That's, you know, again, you now know, if you have listened to the whole podcast, you now know the 18U team. And when you say you know the 18U team, you really know many of the top players in the, what will be the top players in not only the 2020 draft, but reality is this 2020 draft, and then also a couple years later, you know, some of these guys are going to go to college, so you're also getting a very, and I mean very early look at the 2022 and the 2023s, you know, yeah. So as well. So that was fun. That was a lot of fun. You know, and we do appreciate you listening, all of our BA podcast subscribers. We thank you for the download. We thank you for the subscribing. If you haven't subscribed, please do, whether it is iTunes or Spotify, or take your pick. There, you know, I use Podcast Addict. I'm the weird one on Android. But we do thank you for that. We do want to remind you that we have a lot coming up at baseballamerica.com over the next few weeks, including if you listen to this, and if you're listening to this right now,
you're a true fan.
I count you in a hard, you are a hardcore, awesome, true fan. And if you are at this point, I think you're going to be excited to see we're going to be rolling out our 2021 draft list real soon.
Yep.
So almost done with it, you know, finishing up.
First time, I think, I don't know if we've ever done interclass high school before at BA, at least not in my time here, so excited for that.
And 2022 is in the not-too-distant future,
yeah,
as well.
So we're trying to get ahead of the game here.
So we'd be looking forward to that at baseballamerica.com. It's always a great time to subscribe to Baseball America. baseballamerica.com/store, and you can do that. And we also will be rolling out League Top 20s if you're interested in the prospect side, too. That's coming up starting next week, if I remember correctly. So for Frank Sagota, for Carlos Collazo, and I'm JJ Cooper. Thank you, everyone, and talk to you soon.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.